आप सुन रहे हैं रेडियो रवीश।
नमस्कार, मैं रवीश कुमार। दिस पॉडकास्ट हैज बीन जनरेटेड बाय आर्टिफिशियल इंटेलिजेंस। द वॉइस यू विल नाउ हियर इज नॉट माइंड बट जनरेटेड बाय अ मशीन। वी आर ट्राइंग टू रीच न्यू ऑडियंसेस एंड दस मेकिंग यूज ऑफ व्हाट एआई हैज टू ऑफर। देयर माइट बी सम ट्रांसलेशन रिलेटेड इनएक्यूरेसीज। इन दैट केस प्लीज रेफर टू आवर मेन वीडियो।
2024 Congress releases its manifesto. Namaskar, I am Ravish Kumar. If you are wondering whether, under Congress rule, the parliament will function as it did during Modi's tenure, whether the media will remain as it was, and whether the same issues of political interference in the judiciary, which were alleged during Modi's rule, will continue, then you should read the Congress manifesto. Congress, addressing the concerns of constitutional and institutional decline, has made a firm commitment in its manifesto to halt this trend and ensure the autonomy and independence of institutions. The manifesto includes a promise to abandon the collegium system for appointing judges and to establish a commission to address complaints against judges. Moreover, it proposes dividing the Supreme Court into two sections, a constitutional court and an appeals court. Congress has made a significant pledge regarding judicial reform, including increasing the representation of scheduled castes and scheduled tribes in the judiciary. This manifesto stands out from those of many other political parties, both past and present, in these respects. It is also bold. Beyond easily understood promises like guarantees, the manifesto invites debate on matters of constitutional significance. It offers a vision for the future, moving beyond the debate of Congress's actions during its tenure and the BJP's in its 10 years. This video provides a comprehensive overview, offering crucial information that empowers you to be an informed citizen before being a voter. Listen to what Congress leader Rahul Gandhi has said. It is very important that the public understands that this is not a normal election. This is an election to save democracy and the Constitution. It is crucial to fight and win this battle. This election is a contest between the interests of 2-3% of the population and the rest of India. What the whole of India desires is reflected in this manifesto, and what the 2%, what Adani wants, can be seen in their manifesto. You will find their complete wish list there. The Congress manifesto promises an India where both houses of parliament will convene for 100 days a year, and the speaker, who must be impartial, will sever ties with his political party. The country witnessed the suspension of over 100 MPs from parliament and the cancellation of Mahua Moitra's membership by voice vote. Congress has brought this issue, overlooked in this election, to the forefront of debate through its manifesto. The manifesto ensures that if Congress comes to power, the agenda of the opposition benches will be discussed in the Lok Sabha and Rajya Sabha once a week, marking a significant parliamentary reform. Prime Minister Modi, who did not hold a single detailed press conference in 10 years, could have implemented this practice, common in parliaments worldwide. In the British Parliament, for example, a day is designated for the Prime Minister's response, during which all members can ask questions, and the Prime Minister must answer in the House. Reviewing the records of how many notices the opposition has submitted for discussion in the 10 years of Modi's rule and the rate at which they were accepted reveals the decline of parliamentary institutions. Congress has opposed the system of single elections and stated that elections will be conducted only through EVMs, but all VVPAT slips will be counted. Additionally, a commitment has been made to strengthen the autonomy of institutions like the Election Commission, Information Commission, and CAG. Congress has announced that it will reinstate the Planning Commission, abolishing planning. The discussion on the commission and the creation of Niti Aayog raises the question, will the BJP debate these proposals and suggestions from Congress? And through this, will the media remind the country of the reasons behind these discussions in this election? This is highlighted on page number 21 of Congress's Nyayapatra, which outlines 18 guarantees regarding constitutional justice. These guarantees indicate that if Congress has the opportunity to govern, it will avoid the issues that have been contentious during previous administrations. This time, Congress is explicitly stating its intentions and the system it plans to establish, presenting an India shaped by Congress's vision. The first promise is the assurance of freedom from fear. This manifesto was released on the same day a YouTube channel named Bolta Hindustan was removed, with the central government providing no explanation for its action. This has left every YouTuber under the threat of being banned. Congress promises to restore freedom of speech and expression, including complete freedom of the media. It also vows to decriminalize defamation, offering quick legal remedies through civil damages, and to end arbitrary and indiscriminate internet suspensions. Furthermore, Congress plans to review the Telecom Act, 2023, removing provisions that restrict speech and expression and violate privacy rights. Rahul Gandhi highlighted the current situation, stating, "It started in 2019, today it has reached its peak. Modi has captured all institutions, holding a political and financial monopoly. Everything is under BJP's control. It's like a rigged cricket match, not a fair game. Whether it's social media, look at the social media of opposition leaders, my YouTube, my Facebook, my Instagram. The entire structure is controlled, rigged. It's crucial for the public to understand that this is not a normal election. This is an election to save democracy and the constitution. It's a fight between a small percentage and the rest of India. What the whole of India wants is in this manifesto, and what a small percentage, what Adani wants, is in his manifesto." Rahul Gandhi has consistently spoken about the decline of constitutional institutions, and in this manifesto, Congress offers extensive suggestions to restore their neutrality. The party promises freedom from various fears that have emerged over the last decade. The manifesto covers a wide range of issues, from privacy rights to internet suspension and defamation law, ensuring privacy protection. In the section on constitutional justice, it states that Congress will review all laws interfering with privacy rights and amend them as necessary. Congress also promises to uphold the right to assemble peacefully, form organizations, and not interfere with personal choices regarding food, clothing, law, marriage, and residence anywhere in India. All unreasonable laws and rules will be repealed. This election has raised global concerns about India's democracy. Regardless of whether Congress gains power, its manifesto shows serious consideration for these concerns and proposes ways to address them. P. Chidambaram, chairman of the 16-member committee, mentioned that as early as 2019, they had warned that India was moving towards authoritarianism, with many experts now referring to it as electoral authoritarianism rather than a democracy. A few weeks ago, the Congress president emphasized the importance of addressing these issues. Mallikarjun Kharge stated that during the 10 years of Modi's rule, more than 400 MLAs have switched from other parties to the BJP. Following the ED raids, numerous prominent leaders migrated to the BJP, where they no longer face issues. The increase in political defections through the ED has been addressed in the Congress manifesto. It proposes amending the 10th schedule of the constitution to make defection an automatic ground for disqualification from membership in the assembly or parliament. The Congress promises that police, investigative, and intelligence agencies will operate strictly in accordance with the law. Their current unchecked powers will be limited, and they will be placed under the oversight of parliament or state legislatures, as applicable. The manifesto pledges to end the weaponization of law, arbitrary searches, seizures, and attachments, indiscriminate arrests, use of third-degree methods, prolonged detentions, custodial deaths, and bulldozer justice. Congress aims to enact a law on bail, emphasizing that bail is the rule, jail is the exception, across all criminal laws, and has also promised prison reforms. This manifesto clearly seeks to halt the recent years' trends of police repression, arbitrary raids, and the indiscriminate jailing of individuals. There is also a call for a thorough discussion on media and judiciary freedom. It's unnecessary to rely on foreign newspapers to recognize the decline of press freedom in India. A glance at local Hindi newspapers reveals the extent of the issue, with news channels becoming increasingly compliant and investigative journalism, especially on topics like electoral bonds, becoming rare. The Congress has made a strong commitment to media freedom, favoring self-regulation but promising further improvements. Amendments to the Indian Press Council Act, 1978, are proposed to protect journalistic and editorial freedom, including laws to shield journalists from state coercion, limit government surveillance, prevent equipment confiscation, and protect source confidentiality. Furthermore, Congress plans to introduce legislation to prevent media monopolies and cross-ownership, referring cases of suspected monopolies to the Competition Commission of India. Media houses will be required to disclose their ownership, cross-holdings, and revenue streams on their websites. A law to maintain internet freedom and prevent arbitrary internet shutdowns is also promised, aiming to eliminate all forms of censorship. This manifesto is one of the few to offer such detailed commitments to press freedom. It also emphasizes the independence and autonomy of the judiciary, proposing the establishment of a National Judicial Commission in consultation with the Chief Justices of the Supreme Court and High Courts to enhance the judiciary's quality. This commission will oversee the selection and appointment of High Court and Supreme Court judges, ensuring representation from scheduled castes, scheduled tribes, and backward classes, and aims to fill all judicial vacancies within 3 years. A significant proposal is to create 2 divisions within the Supreme Court through a constitutional amendment, 1 Constitutional Court and 1 Appeal Court. The Constitutional Court, comprising the 7 most senior judges, will hear cases related to the interpretation of the Constitution and matters of legal or national importance, while the Court of Appeal will handle other appeals. The final Court of Appeal, which will consist of a bench of 3 judges, will hear appeals from the high courts and national tribunals. On this occasion, the Congress president also mentioned that the promise to eliminate fear has been made because Prime Minister Modi is hesitant to visit Manipur. Listen to Congress President Mallikarjun Kharge. He expressed gratitude for the support during a time when some are living out of fear. Who are those who are afraid? Only a guilty person fears. A righteous person, who stands by their principles, does not fear. Therefore, we are not afraid. Our leaders, Mrs. Sonia Gandhi and Rahul Gandhi, are not afraid. Fear is foreign to them. Only Modi fears because he keeps boasting about securing more than 400 seats for our people. Yet, he could not visit a place like Manipur despite having travelled extensively both domestically and internationally. The election campaign was conducted using government funds and vehicles, but Manipur was overlooked. Why did he not visit? He claims to be fearless, boasting of a 56-inch chest. Yet, he cannot visit, while our leader Rahul Gandhi can, standing with the people. The reason is fear. A fearful person cannot do good for the country. The Congress manifesto discusses 5 types of justice, including a guarantee for the minimum support price for crop purchases. However, when questioned about the absence of the old pension scheme, Chidambaram clarified that it has not been forgotten, it is under consideration. The central government has established a committee, led by the finance secretary, to review the new pension scheme and explore the demand for the old pension scheme. Until the committee's report is reviewed, it would be premature to take a stance on it. Despite implementing the old pension scheme in Rajasthan and losing the state elections there, where the BJP later reversed the decision, Congress is contemplating the old pension scheme, which is not mentioned in the manifesto but remains in the hearts and minds of the party. Listen to former Finance Minister P. Chidambaram, who stated, "It is not missing, as such, it is very much on our mind. However, please remember the developments over the last 4 months, including the government appointing a committee to review the NPS and the demand for OPS, aiming to finance the objectives of OPS through a funded pension scheme." Congress President Mallikarjun Kharge emphasized that the manifesto was released on the birthday of Babu Jagjivan Ram. Kharge highlighted Jagjivan Ram's long-standing contribution to the party from 1947 to 1984, including his time in the ministry. He also recalled the first manifesto from Nehru's era. Listen to Congress President Mallikarjun Kharge again. "Our manifesto, released in 1951 under the leadership of Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru, was titled What Congress Stands For. It presented a realistic view of achievable and implementable goals, without making exaggerated claims or ambitious plans to entice the electorate. This approach, initiated during Pandit Nehru's time, emphasized honesty and practicality, principles we continue to uphold in our current manifesto. This manifesto of Congress is remarkable for suggesting measures to restore the independence and autonomy of constitutional institutions and the media. There should be a debate on the judiciary. After all, what measures should be taken to ensure that constitutional institutions are not exploited for the power of any individual? How long will the debate continue over what transpired during the emergency and what has occurred in the 10 years under Modi? The state of India today is such that it is uncertain when a journalist will be dismissed from their job for questioning the government, or when their YouTube channel will be targeted and banned. At least the Congress has presented a concrete alternative on these issues. Namaskar, I am Ravish Kumar.